Live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time, then Rocket can. All right, I am Jim Rome. We start hour number three. I began the program by doing this long, long block on Padres v. Dodgers, and what an awesome weekend that was. They don't like each other. They're talking junk. They're hitting bombs. They're styling bombs. They're taking their smack talk into social. It's awesome. Oh, and they don't like each other. Fernando Tatis was incredible. Padres fell behind 7-1 last night. That game was over. You're not coming back on LA down 7-1. And then they did. And then they won. And they had to have it. And Padre fan is feeling it. Dodger fan's not paying attention at all, apparently. But Padre fan is feeling it. I said, get in here, man. This is the best it's been in a long, long time. This is a legitimate rivalry. The best thing about Major League Baseball. The one thing that could save Major League Baseball is Dodgers v. Padres. We hit on that. We talked some MMA, and then right when I thought that conversation might be over and I would move on to the next thing, I received an email from a, quote, cycling degenerate who said that it's barbaric. I can't watch it. Ears exploding, faces getting wrecked, people potentially dying in the cage. I can't watch it, Rome. It's just barbaric. Signed, a cycling degenerate. And then everybody rushed in to pile on the cycling degenerate. And I actually had his back. I'm not saying you're wrong. If it's too much for you, I get that. It's not for everybody. I happen to like it a lot. I will talk about it on this show forever. I'm all in. But if it's not for you, that's fine. However, many of you are killing this guy. And it did not help this guy that he said, I'm a cycling degenerate. And then he emailed back to say, yeah, well, I am. And you know where to find me. Let's ride, bro. You and me, let's do this thing. And that just made it worse. So here we are. Here the bleep we are. Rome. Even I think cycling guy's obnoxious. Signed, Shadow Boxes in Gym Mirror Guy. Wore me barely pedaling on my electric bike and blasting right by cycling guy. Stephen PHX. Hi, Jim. Please tell Brad that riding a bike is not an accomplishment. Get off the road, kook. Ryan in Newport Beach. See, that's what's going to happen. Once you get done calling this guy a wimp, it's going to turn into that argument about whether or not they should be on the road. And that's when they become likes to fight guy. That's when they take out their bike pumps and they weaponize them and try to go upside your head with them. I'm not even going to get into the politics of that. I'm not even going to get into, I'm willing to share the road, but why are you in the middle of the road? I'm not doing that. I've told you the story once before. A guy did do that. I was coming out of my neighborhood one day, and it was maybe 5:45 a.m., and I'm coming down the road, and homeboy's right in the middle of the road. Like right in the middle of the road. We're the only ones on the road. I'm running a little bit late for work. I'm a little bit uptight about it. So I go around him. He's not in the bike lane. I'm not saying that all cyclists are like this. I'm saying one. Just this one guy. I go around him just without saying a word. I didn't ride the horn. I didn't come up on him. I didn't try to intimidate him with my rig. I just went around him. I didn't give a damn. I had to get to work. I go around this guy, my windows are closed, my music is on, and clear as day, this guy F-bombed me. And I heard it. Windows up, music loud, 5:45 a.m., because I had the audacity to go around him. Bro, was I going to draft with you all the way down the hill? How fast were you going on that bike, 25? In a 45? Yeah, man, I went around you. That was the worst experience I had coming out of my neighborhood compared to that other contractor who was doing the same thing in his truck, going about 25. And I went around him too. And homeboy there thought that was a reason to go. Followed me to a gas station, hit me with a P-bomb to my face, and wanted to go. I'm like, oh, because I went around you too, dude. Sorry about that. That wasn't personal. You just weren't going very fast. Share the road, y'all. Dear Rome, Joe Rogan reacting to that knockout wasn't that great. Regards, dumbass TikTok reactors. I've got no problem with Joe reacting that way. All three of those guys did. Dumbass. In fact, I did too. one 800 636 8686. Francis sent that along. Dear cyclist, welcome to the party, pal. Signed, softball guy, gym guy, the rat family, Corvette guy, etc.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Well, there you go. Phone lines are open. Let me move on to the next thing. So, like celebrities, right? Celebrities, in fact, when you get right down to it, they really are just like the rest of us. Except no, they're really not. They're celebrities. Celebrities are not like the rest of us because they can't be. Because we won't let them be. A celebrity cannot just walk into a coffee shop, as an example, order a latte, sleeve up, and then get out of there like we can. That person gets stared at. That person gets stopped. That person gets chatted up. That person gets asked for autographs and selfies, and you regale them with some story. A 5-minute errand turns into a 30-minute ordeal. And then if said celebrity is not like the happiest person in the world, and if they don't act like they're the most grateful person in the world, that you stop them and harass them, then they're on video coming off like an entitled asshat. And then their reputation is wrecked over one simple coffee run. So what do? They wear hats, they wear sunglasses, they pull hoodies over their heads, they go with disguises, and they use fake names instead of their real handles. Enter one Clayton Edward Kershaw, one of the most recognizable faces in the city of Los Angeles. I mean, like, this guy's not going to just walk into a Starbucks with his trademark shaggy lettuce, towering above everybody at 6'4". And ordering a Pike Place roast to go and have the barista shout out his real name when the drink is ready. How would that go? Clayton Kershaw, order for Clayton Kershaw, number 22 for the World Series champion Dodgers. Your Pike is ready. Man, that's not going to work. That can't happen. He'd be late to every single game he's running off to. According to the Dodgers broadcast, though, Friday night, we now find out his workaround. Clayt, he's got an alias when he orders his coffee. That alias is Tony Crenshaw. TC, my guy. I see you working. I really do. TC. All right, so in case you don't, let me explain it to you. Tony is Clayton. Without the first three letters, and then he just reorganizes the letters to get to the four, Tony. Crenshaw, however, has a much better backstory, a much funnier backstory. And no, it's not an homage to one of the most famous streets in LA. It's actually an homage to one of the most viral Dodger fans telling the local news back in 2017 who her favorite player is. Check this out. Understand this about the clip. The clip is from some dude who recorded it right off their TV and then added his own live commentary. Normally, I avoid this type of audio, but it's the only version of the clip in known existence. And the guy who recorded it from his TV is actually pretty hilarious.
Who's your favorite player right now?
Crenshaw.
Love him. Crenshaw or Kershaw? One of those. I'm a little intoxicated.
She said her favorite player was Crenshaw.
I mean, there's a lot of awesome in that. Listen again closely. In the first bit, you hear the newscaster asking this gal on the street during a Dodger World Series run, who's your favorite player? And this gal responds with, quote, Crenshaw. The newscaster is so low-key. So low-key and savage that she quickly corrects the gal with a super quick Crenshaw or Kershaw.
Who's your favorite player right now?
Crenshaw.
Love him. Crenshaw or Kershaw? One of those.
Or rickshaw. Or coleslaw. Or debrickishaw. I mean, this dude's recording his TV. Why he's recording the local news, I'm not really sure, but he is. And I'm glad he is, because he's laughing his ass off. And that's money. This guy's all of us. He can't help himself. I mean, who can? I love this gal on the street's instant pivot when the newscaster jumps in with Crenshaw or Kershaw. The gal on the street goes with one of those. I'm a little intoxicated.
Crenshaw or Kershaw? One of those. I'm a little intoxicated.
Well played. When you're caught lying about being a Dodger fan, and you just call the most famous player who's been on that team longer than anybody Crenshaw, definitely blame the booze. But it's my man laughing as he records his TV that just ices that cake.
Who's your favorite player right now? Crenshaw. Love him. Crenshaw or Kershaw? One of those. I'm a little intoxicated.
She said her favorite player was Crenshaw.
I love how this dude's like, not only laughing, he's resetting it audibly. This dude's like, her favorite player is Crenshaw.
She said her favorite player was Crenshaw.
This dude thinks that's the funniest thing he's ever heard in his life, and it might be. Anyway, according to Reddit, and wouldn't they know, Kershaw has seen that clip. And that's what inspired him to go with the alias Tony Crenshaw. So if that's true, if Clayton Kershaw orders coffee as Tony Crenshaw because of that drunk on the news 4 years ago, then that's an all-time great alias. And yes, that would surpass even Madison Bumgarner using Mason Saunders as a fake name to secretly compete in the rodeo. Yes, Mad Bum's secret life is way funnier and way more impressive. But Kershaw's alias, if the backstory is true, is actually better, as aliases go. Hey, Tony freaking Crenshaw, your pike is ready.
Who's your favorite player right now? Crenshaw. Love him. Crenshaw or Kershaw? One of those. I'm a little intoxicated.
She said her favorite player was Crenshaw.
That dude makes me laugh. I don't know what's funnier. Her saying Crenshaw, her blaming Crenshaw on the booze, or that guy just thinking it's the best and funniest thing he's ever heard in his life. Her favorite player is Crenshaw. I mean, she was in the same neighborhood, right? Back to the phones. Let's go to Pacific Beach, my old stomping grounds. That's where I lived when I moved to San Diego to get my big break. Philip in PB. Philip, what's up? How are you?
What's up, Jim?
What's up, dude?
Got a message to all the Dodger fans coming from us Padre fans.
Hey, dude, I got a message for you.
Ah! You run. No.
My message for you, before you issue a message to the Dodgers, finish your lunch, or at least what's in your mouth. As I always say, you never know when I'm coming to you. You probably thought, man, I got time. He's not coming to me. I'll just jam this sando in my face. Be ready, because the fact is you don't know. Let's try it again. Back to San Diego. Quinn, my bad. Hey, Quinn, how are you?
What's up, Jim? What's up, big dog?
What's up, dude?
Hey, love the show. Thanks for taking my call. We miss your presence down here, man. Hey, just wanted to touch on the Bauer-Tatis saga. Incredible stuff. I absolutely love it for the sport. There's an elite breakdown online by John Boy. I'm sure you've heard of him. Shows Tatis actually missed the sign when he looked down. So reel back a little bit there, Dodgers Nation. Shall I say you're reaching a bit for that one? Another thing, I was one of those guys who thought the Padres should have signed Dave Roberts when they had the chance. I really liked him as a player, especially in Boston. I thought he played with a lot of heart. He was Mr. Hustle, kind of embodied the whole National League style of play. but I've lost a ton of respect for him, the comments he made this weekend. Just own it, man. Fernando got you. He got you 5 times in 4 games. I'm questioning the so-called classiness you give him, Jim. And I've got a question for you, Rome.
Hit me.
You know what Fernando Tatis Jr. looks like?
I do.
He looks like a Adonis, dude. Did you see Bauer, after he gave up that home run, look like he stepped in something? Dude was bent. He looked like a spanked ass in a windstorm. Wore swagger in baseball, wore the finest city in America, and wore the Friar Faithful. We're coming for that ass.
Quinn, you know what that was? Rack him. That was the best, worst call ever. My man, you were all over the map. Do you know what he looked like? It's funny you say that, because when I was watching the fights over the weekend and I saw what happened to my guy, Jorge Masvidal, I'm like, yo, man, Usman, do you know what Usman, when Usman stepped in the cage, I immediately blurted out, oh my God, he's a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
Like, nobody's ever accused Jorge of looking like a Adonis.
He looks like a
Adonis. But Jorge's a warrior. A warrior. And he did look better than he looked in that last fight. Understandable. He took that last fight on 6 days' notice and had to cut crazy weight. He looked better. But when I saw Kamaru Usman step into that cage, I literally did say, you know, I'm sorry about the phrase, oh my God, he looks like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
And then I texted it to all my guys. He looks like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
Fernando Tatis looks like a lot of things. I wouldn't say a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
I love this guy going, hey, man, we miss your presence. We miss your presence down here in San Diego. Quinn, what does that mean? I'm on 97.3, which is a freaking blowtorch. Crystal clear, beautiful signal, blowtorch. Every day, 9 to noon, 5 days a week, 97.3. What do you mean you miss my presence? You miss my physical presence? I go down, did an appearance at Lexus of Escondido with Daniel Jeremiah. Had a great time down there. Hit Buffalo Wild Wings in Mission Valley. You know I frequent Del Mar. Dude, what do you mean you miss my presence? I get down there every chance I get. I'm in San Diego right now. I'm in San Diego every freaking day. Come on, Quinn, what are you talking about? 97.3 every single day. All right, when we come back, one open segment, and then I've got Terrace Marshall Jr., an NFL draft prospect. Padre Dodgers, big topic today. UFC 261, also a big topic today. NFL draft coming up on Thursday night, finally. That's been a topic.
Finally.
Tony Crenshaw. I may do a little golf when we come back, just so I can flex a little bit, show my range. He looks like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So, how many of you have returned to the gym? How many of you are back in the gym throwing the weights around? If you are, I bet you look like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
I bet. All right, so every year the PGA Tour swings right on through the Big Easy for their one and only team event. One and only team event on the calendar. 80 different two-man squads play an alternate shot format, and they try to peel out of New Orleans with a Zurich Classic Championship under their belt and a few celebratory hurricane cocktails in their bloodstream. Be careful of those things, I'm telling you. They hit, and they hit hard, and you don't know when they're going to hit. I know, I've been there. And when it happened, I did not feel like a Adonis. Felt like I was in a gutter, and I probably was. Those things go down like they're Kool-Aid, like legitimately Kool-Aid. It tastes like Kool-Aid. And the next thing you know, you're out. So this year, the Australian duo of Mark Leishman and Cam Smith won the tourney in a playoff, which was actually pretty awesome because it involved Cam Smith removing his lid and showing off one of the more glorious mullets in the world. If you follow golf, then you know Cam Smith has been working on that Mississippi mud flap for quite some time. But this weekend is when his neck warmer got some serious, serious airtime. Let me say it right now. That beaver paddle gets the all-important tan smack stamp of approval. This guy, he looked like a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.
So congrats to the champs and to Cam Smith for rocking the sickest lettuce flow on the track. Now, one of the more unique aspects to the Zurich is that guys get to choose their own partners. They are not pre-assigned by the tour. So you'll see close friends like Pat Perez and Jason Kokrak link up. Then you'll see some really random pairings like 24-year-old Scottie Scheffler and 42-year-old Bubba Watson. Kind of weird, right? Kind of random. Well, here's the two of them being asked how that pairing actually came to be.
How did you guys become a team?
Bubba asked like 8 or 9 guys. They all said no. Then he waited for me. And then I waited about 4 or 5 days, texted a few guys, and no one responded. So I said yes.
That is pretty much it.
Now, maybe they're having some fun with that. Maybe they're just joking around. Or maybe they're not. Maybe that's how that went down. You heard Scheffler say that Bubba had asked 8 or 9 guys and they all said no. And that when Bubba finally worked his way to Scheffler, Scheffler was like the 9th or 10th choice. Scheffler himself waited 4 or 5 days and then texted a few guys, but no one hit him back. So he settled on Bubba. I wonder if it was like Mikey and Swingers, like if you went to the calendar, like big red X, that's 1 day, big red X, that's 2 days. You know, make him want it more. Bubba Watson has been voted the least popular player on tour by his fellow Sticks on more than one occasion. And at that very same event back in 08, he and our guy Steve Elkington got into it. Remember? Listen to a young Bubba Watson try to rip into Elk and Elk's caddy after Bubba thought the two of them were intentionally trying to distract him. Bubba, and I quote, "Tell you what, man, veterans can kiss my ass." All right, Elk, the oldest of the old school, did not take well to that. That led to a damn near Donnybrook on the course and some drama in the scoring tent when Elk refused to sign Bubba's card. Here's Elk on my podcast a few years back sharing his thoughts on what happened that day.
I walk around, I push my nose up against him. I said, look, idiot, we don't do that out here, but here's what's going to happen when we get in. I'm going to kick your out of you. I'm going to flatten that nose, and you're going to get to pick where you want it flattened. I left it at that because I was playing good, mate. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so we get in, and I'm not shaking his hand. We go into the locker, into the scorer's tent. There's 2 security guys and 2 guys from the tour. So I go in, and I blew up in there and said, look, my this is, you know, we don't do this on tour. You don't blow up at players like this. We're on TV. I mean, what are you, some kind of a clown? And I said, I'm going to knock the shit out of you, and I'm going to wait by your car where your name is, and I'm going to meet you out there. I'm going to flatten that ugly nose of yours over there. Well, he busts out crying.
Let me tell you about Elk. Elk is likes to drink and likes to fight guy if you put him in a bad spot. So, you know, maybe it's entirely possible that Bubba did text 9 guys who didn't want to play with him. And it's entirely possible that his 10th choice in Scottie Scheffler waited 5 days before he finally said yes because he couldn't find anybody else himself. So somehow, some way, these dudes finished T8 this week. Not bad for a couple of guys who seem to want very little to do with one another in New Orleans. But the real story of the week was not Cam Smith's glorious mullet or Bubba's unpopularity, still following him into his 40s. It was the alligators. That's right, the gators. Gators on a golf course. Not new, not even surprising. We've seen that before. And yet somehow we're still kind of numb to this descendant of dinosaurs walking around like it's 245 million years ago. This week was different. It was different because they were everywhere, early and often. And that's because a few gator parents were on serious patrol.
There's a nest of gator eggs over on the other side of 17 Fairway, and Mum and Dad have been crossing that fairway all day trying to get back to them.
Gator eggs and gator ma and pa trying to get back to gator eggs. Oh, cool. Just a pissed off and highly motivated duo of gators protecting a nest on the 17th fairway. Not a big deal. That sounds about fine. Is that in the yardage book? Or do you have to be a local to know where the eggs are? Here is some unsettling play-by-play of Wyndham Clark. A shot of his from a lake on Saturday.
Hit it quick. We have seen an alligator in this lake left of 16.
An alligator?
Two so far today. Oh, how good did he hit this?
What the hell, man? Why is everybody so calm about this guy standing ankle deep in alligator water? Better question, why is he hitting that shot in the first place? Dude, take a drop. Some things are not worth it, dog. Ask Chubbs Peterson.
Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh my God.
Yeah, tournament down in Florida. I hooked my ball in the rough down by the lake. Damn alligator just popped up, cut me down in my prime. He got me. But I tore one of that bastard's eyes out, though. Look at that.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
Clark played from inside an alligator lake. But on that same day, Cam Champ hit a shot with an alligator hanging on dry land no more than 10 feet behind him.
Is a gator giving him a ruling?
That's not a prop, I can promise you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. How does that not get in your head when he's right behind you? I mean, it has to.
The entire tournament was like some kind of crossover or hybrid of Nat Geo and the PGA Tour. Golfers and gators coexisting on the track. Next up, the Valspar in Palm Harbor, Florida, home to, and you guessed it, many, many more alligators. Stay safe out there, fellas. Or just send Bubba Watson on removal duty. See Bubba out there? Rubber banding their beak shut. Man, how about elk? I haven't heard elk that worked up in a long time as he was in that interview, restating that story. Just F-bombing him and threatening to rearrange and fix his nose several times.
That ugly nose of yours over there. Well, he busts out crying.
When we return, another draft prospect, Terrace Marshall Jr., getting ready for the draft. Thursday. Finally, the NFL draft upon us. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. First up, a sports update. Busy Monday. Here is the very latest. Here is Rich Eisen. Quickly, the ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rome, where does the finally drop come from? Thanks, Stephen Fort Wayne. Good question. That, of course, is the voice of Old Man Ritt. The context of that is, when I finally had him on this show, this is what he had to say.
Thank you for having me on, finally. It's nice to be on the air once.
This guy's incredible, man. The arrogance and the entitlement. Like, Ritt is sitting in that back row, taking it all in, knowing that I put Hawk on all the time, knowing that I'll put Alvin on, a reluctant Alvin on occasion, knowing that I put James Kelly on once a week for big head bets. And Rich just sitting back there like, yeah, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? And when I finally do, the arrogance, the disdain.
Thank you for having me on, finally. It's nice to be on the air once.
Thank you for having me on would have been sufficient, old man. And when you then, Chase, thank you with finally for having me on once, you're not thanking me at all.
Thank you for having me on finally.
In other words, it's about time. It's nice for me to hear my voice on the air. What took you so long? It should have happened sooner. The hell are you thinking, Rome? I know what you're thinking, Rome. If I put him on, everybody will hear how much more talented he is than you are, Rome. And then it will be the Rich Show. And you'll be in the back row. Finally.
Finally.
So that's what that drop is. It's Rit. It's Rit calling me out on my show for taking so long to give him an opportunity to be on the air.
Thank you for having me on, finally. It's nice to be on the air once.
And then what happened? And what happened when I put him on the air and gave him a segment? It was a catastrophe. It was terrible. And the only reason I even put him on was because he played horse against himself in his driveway and then pushed it out over social media and was starting to talk junk to actual NBA players and meant it. He called Paul Pierce fat. Well, then again, if I knew you were going to do that, I would have put you on sooner. That you earned. Who's had a better run in sports media? Who had a longer run in sports media? Fat Paul Pierce or Fat Rit? Rit's still employed. Rit still has a mic in front of his face. Rit is still employed in the media. So you got that going for you. I don't know, man. Like, the history of this program would suggest I haven't put a lot of the crew on. Kyle Brandt, because he's an extremely talented guy. Hawk, because he's an extremely polarizing figure. Alvin won't even come on. And then the big head, only of late. But the big head worked here like 10 years before he got on. Rit's been here 10 minutes, and he hasn't been on. And he's like, finally.
It's nice to be on the air once.
Dude, you're the newest guy on staff. I mean this. Like, you've already been on more times than Alvin's been on. And Alvin's worked here 20 years. Literally. I'm not even exaggerating when I say that. I bet Alvin's been on four times. Rit, you've already been on a couple of times. So what's this finally bullcrap coming from? That's why we play that drop all the time. Because he's so arrogant, man. And there are parts of me that like Rit's arrogance because arrogance can often be fearlessness. But the other part of that is arrogance can also be asshattedness. And that's a problem, man. Arrogance can often just be arrogance, which then becomes disrespectfulness. But it is funny, man. It is funny. At the end of the day, Rit's arrogance and his positive qualities outweigh his negative qualities. And his arrogance is both a positive and a negative quality, depending on what day you ask me. Finally. He means it. Listen to what he's saying. There's no irony in that. That's a hammer, like, about freaking time.
Thank you for having me on, finally. It's nice to be on the air once.
Rit's kind of like going with this, like, hey, man, you know how many other shows I've worked on? You know how often they put me on the air on all those other shows? Right, Rit? They're not this show, man. Welcome to the big leagues. Just kidding. I mean, Jay Stu used to come on quite a bit, but Jay Stu used to be in actual movies and appear on TV shows. But then again, Rit, I know, you've appeared on TV shows. Game shows where you cost your team wins
and
money.
I'm the sports guy. He's the movies guy.
Just this guy's attitude is incredible, man. You got to love it. You got to love it. I will say this about Rit, man. Never has a bad day. Credit for that, dude. Credit for that. I respect that. Never has a bad day. Always arrogant and always thinking he's better than he actually is.
Can't do it, baby. Can't do it.
My man, when it comes to attitude, energy, and emotion, he is the most consistent guy in this house. Consistently arrogant. But I know what I'm going to get, man, every day. And I've made that pretty clear. If you're going to walk through this door, be consistent. And what I mean by be consistent, man, be upbeat. Do not bring it to work. Whatever's going on, do not bring it to work. And Rit doesn't, man. All he does is bring an arrogance with him to work every day.
Game on.
That's a good ATP. Dear Rome.
Finally.
Yeah, I got it, Alvin. Thank you. Dear Rome, I texted 9 guys, and they all said yes. Regards, Jason in Fullerton.
I just put 2 and 2 together that Jason Stewart is Jason from Fullerton, the old caller. I go out with a buddy of mine, my JV coach at the time, who went to Fullerton, and he's a buddy of Jason's and a couple of his friends. We go over to this house on a Friday night, and Jason and about 10 guys are sitting in a room watching porno, and he's bragging about how he's this caller on your show. And I never met a more pathetic group of losers. We're going out looking for chicks, and they're watching porno with guys.
Here's the problem with sound bites like that. You could certainly make the argument, yeah, Rome, that's great, but what have you done for me lately? Are you not creating moments like that? And the sad truth is, no. You callers are not creating moments like that. Maybe that's because moments like that no longer occur. Maybe it's because Jay Stu is no longer in a one-bedroom apartment with 9 other dudes watching porno.
With a guy.
That's possible. I don't know. You got to admit, though, those are amazing bites. All right, let's go to the phones. I was efforting Terrace Marshall, who could be a first-round pick. Really interesting dude with a really interesting career, but that did not happen for some reason. Let's go to Oceanside. Man, it's been all about San Diego County today, and I like it. Ryan in Oceanside. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. What's on your
mind? I have lived in San Diego County, with the exception of 4 years in college. I've lived here my entire life since I was 2. I remember hearing you on 690 with my dad making me pull weeds out in the yard. You're just a legend, and I'm just happy to be on the phone with you. I'll just get straight to it. I'm just so stoked that I get to wear my Padres stuff to the next staff meeting, because back in October, during that playoff run with the series against the Dodgers, the second in command boss started off the meeting talking smack. Typical Dodger turd, barely covering up their insecurities. They're so just fragile, and I can't wait to just wear it and just smile and not say a single word. My other wish is for the rest of the country to get on board the Padres train. Don't have to be your favorite team. Just come on board whenever we're playing the Dodgers and get on board the Dodger hate. The rest of the world, too. The rest of you Angelinos, have fun with those Spanoses. You can keep the Chargers. We don't need them anymore. And also more Bill Plaskey crying through his keyboard. I'm done. Thank you.
I love it. Nice job, Ryan. San Diego has waited a long, long, long time to rise up. The Dodgers have ripped off 8 divisional titles in a row. They're the defending world champs. They have beaten the Padres senseless. San Diego is an amazing town. San Diego is a proud town. San Diego has waited a long time to get somebody who could give somebody else the hands. And now they have it. And now they're going to enjoy it. It's going to be awesome. I love it. I do not have a dog in this fight. I respect both these franchises. All I want is something to talk about. And I know a lot of you think that I am Dodger Jim.
You sound like a homer.
If it walks like a homer, if it sounds like a homer, if it looks like a homer, if you were the guy when you were age 16 driving around chasing Ron Say, you must be Dodger Jim. No, I'm not. I will own one thing and one thing only. I am not Dodger Jim, but I do live with Dodger Jano. Janet is a homer. Do you remember the famous story that when I got my job at 690 AM, she was a vice president of the corporation that owned the station, and I got on the air talking smack about Fernando Valenzuela, and she tried to fire me. Dodger Jano, before I even met her, tried to fire me. She literally said in a corporate meeting, "I don't know who that new guy is, but I don't like him or his show. He's mean-spirited. We need to fire him." And that carried a lot of weight considering she was the vice president of human resources. You tried to fire me, so I married you. Scoreboard, he got cut. I live with a homer. I'm not the homer.
Homer.
Dodger Jano. What up, DJ? And Logan just doesn't even have a team. He's Team Logan. He's Uni Logan. Dodger Jano, Uni Logan, and Jake Rome he's gone, man. He's living in Wisconsin, living the life. Now I'm done. Not sure what happened to Terrace Marshall. I'll find out. We'll try and reset that for you. The draft is on Thursday, finally. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you, ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day and be a Adonis.
He looks like a Adonis.